We are turning now to a difficult topic that we've talked about on this program before. It's the issue of violence against women in South Africa. The issue is before us in part because of the murder charges against Olympian Oscar Pistorius in connection with the shooting death of his girlfriend, Riva Steenkamp. Although Pistorius insists that he shot Steenkamp only because he mistook her for an intruder, activists in South Africa have been using the case to point up something that is not in dispute, which is that South Africa has one of the highest reported rates of domestic violence in the world. Here is Dolly Ledwaba of the ruling ANC Women's League at a rally.
We can't really live in fear in our homes and our workplace and in our country as well. We need to be free and we need to be protected.
We wanted to talk more about this, so we've called on Lisa Vetten. She is an independent researcher, and she's a member of the Shukumisa campaign. That's a group of 28 organizations working to end sexual violence in South Africa, and she's with us now from Johannesburg. Welcome. Thank you so much for joining us.
Hello, and thank you.
This is probably a good place to say that we might need to speak frankly about some very difficult matters, so this might not be an appropriate conversation for everybody. So, Lisa, let me start by saying once again, we have to say that, you know, Oscar Pistorius has his version of events and why he took the actions that he did. But why is it that so many organizations still feel that this is an appropriate case to talk about domestic violence?
My concern is that it takes something exceptional like this to get us talking about domestic violence. What it suggests to me is that the rest of the time we don't even think it is worth talking about. It takes something truly remarkable before anybody pays attention to domestic violence, which is in many ways far more widespread in South Africa than rape is. But perhaps precisely because it is ubiquitous, it doesn't capture the same level of attention, unfortunately.
And the whole question of rape as is an issue in South Africa. I mean, the word epidemic is a word that has been used. I mean, the estimates are that something like more than a quarter of the women in South Africa have reported being raped, and something close to 40% of the men who've been surveyed have acknowledged that they have participated in rape. Is it understood to be an epidemic?
I think the last couple of weeks have provoked some very difficult soul-searching amongst all South Africans, because this problem has not... It's been here all along, but nobody's really been paying attention to it. It's kind of slipped off the public agenda. And I think in the last few weeks, people have asked themselves, how did we allow it to become so invisible and therefore so normalized to some extent? And what do we do to change the situation? Some of it, unfortunately, is in a very punitive vein and is resorting to calls for castration or the death penalty as the response to dealing with these epidemic levels of violence. But I think most people are starting to try and ask, what is it about the relationships between men and women? And what is it that men need to be doing differently if we are going to bring these figures down?
You said that this has been part of the conversation, the national conversation over the last couple of weeks, not just because of the Pistorius case, but because of a very disturbing doesn't even capture it really fully, of the case of a young woman named Anine Boysens. Can you tell us as gently as you can what happened to her?
Well, at this point, the bail hearing is in progress, so the facts are still not entirely clear. And of course, some of the accused are disputing what is being said. But it would appear that Anine went out for the evening and was accosted by what was certainly a family friend, may well have been her ex-boyfriend, who, with six other men, is alleged to have raped her and then to have disemboweled her and to have taken her intestines and thrown them outside of her body. And it was this which ultimately led to her death. They could not obviously recover all of them. So she died a particularly agonizing death a couple of hours later.
You are telling us that intimate partner violence is, in fact, one of the most common causes of death of women in South Africa.
It's become the leading cause of women's deaths in South Africa. Domestic violence is also the leading cause of trauma amongst women in South Africa.
And is this across racial groups? I mean, perhaps worth pointing out that Riva Steenkamp was white, but Anine Boysens is what South Africans call colored. Is this across racial groups, or whether it's unpleasant to hear or not, is this behavior concentrated among some?
Well, I think it's been noted that one of the truly shared and cross-cultural phenomena in South Africa is patriarchal attitudes. So yes, violence is not unique to any particular group. It occurs across race and class. I mean, I think middle classes would prefer to believe that this is something only poor men do and stigmatize in that way. But I think certainly the common denominator in this instance appears to be masculinity rather than the membership of a particular racial or class group.
Last year, we spoke to veteran journalist Charlene Hunter-Galt, who was writing for a well-known magazine in the United States, The New Yorker. Her specific focus was rapes targeting lesbians in South Africa, but she also noted that this is not the only group affected. Here it is.
It's not just women, it's children and it's babies. And sometimes it's by strangers, but more often than not, it's about either people who live nearby and sometimes by family members. And I don't think that anybody has quite figured out why it is so rampant, but I think there's a lack of real leadership on the issue. And so it's just a situation that remains horrible. And if you look at the statistics, out of control.
I'd like to ask you to comment on her point about there being a lack of leadership on this issue. I think some Americans, certainly most South Africans, will remember that the current leader of South Africa, Jacob Zuma, was acquitted of raping a woman. He said that the sex was consensual. But is there a sense that the leadership of the country, the national leadership, is there any sense that they take this seriously?
I think some politicians do take this seriously, but I think on the whole, if we look at the record over the last couple of years, no. It's only, I think, when we get serious, truly vicious cases happening that suddenly everybody crawls out of the woodwork expressing their outrage and condemnation and wanting to be photographed at all the various events. The problem with rape is that it is so endemic, is that you need to be tackling it on a daily basis in the most uninteresting and boring of ways. By that, I mean you can't just show up and have an event every now and again to show you care. You have to be there every single day at every single police station, checking that statements are properly taken, checking that evidence is properly collected, checking that arrests are made when suspects are identified, checking that victims get access to services, ensuring that all schools know what the policies are around sexual harassment. It's daily persistent work, and it's at that level where we're failing.
Could you give a little bit more, though, about your perspective on what is behind this? You talked about patriarchal attitudes, and you also suggested that your fear is that those same attitudes are leading to the violence. Could you talk a little bit more about that?
I mean, I think one of the reasons why dealing with rape in South Africa is so challenging is because there's no one cause, which obviously means there's no one solution. And I think everybody would like a quick fix so that by tomorrow the problem is over and we can all sleep better at night. But that is not going to be the case. I think the roots are historical, they're social, they're political, and they're individual and psychological. So some of it comes from a long history of using violence generally to settle conflicts. So I think the use of violence generally across the board obviously seeps into men's and women's relationships with each other. So I think you have that history. You have the fact that we have a social fabric that has been very disrupted and has a legacy of that disruption. You're not seeing consistent modeling of good conflict strategies that don't require people to respond violently when they get upset or when things don't go their own way. You also, I think, have a problem where in South Africa, most socializing and most recreation is done in conjunction with alcohol. So while alcohol doesn't cause violence, it's a significant aggravator and accelerator. So it's widely available and it features in disinhibiting and allowing for violence. Mm-hmm. You have many people living in very unsafe, degraded environments where people look around, see the haves and the have-nots, feel a deep sense of frustration, look for people to blame, and sometimes it's women that they blame.
Mm. Lisa, finally, before we let you go, I do note that Jacob Zuma, the president of South Africa, in his State of the Nation address did speak about this issue. He said that the brutality and cruelty meted out to defenseless women is unacceptable. It has no place in our country. Some strong, strong words. Does this encourage you at all that their attitudes are changing?
You know, the problem is the language and which sort of rapes he is talking about. You know, when you start to use language like defenseless woman, you have in mind a particular sort of woman. Usually what people are talking about is babies and elderly women. And that's where I think much of South Africa's greatest outrage is reserved. Unfortunately, the minute you start talking young women who are perhaps out at 3 o'clock in the morning, coming home from having gone out, then suddenly sympathy diminishes. And I think when we start seeing the kind of outrage for those so-called ordinary rapes, then we will really be seeing the tide turning.
Do you take any encouragement from the international attention that has come to the country, even for such disturbing acts? Does that give you any cause of encouragement?
I am more encouraged by the local and national attention than the international attention. I mean, I think international attention on South Africa isn't always particularly well informed, and it fits into, unfortunately, sometimes a racist discourse that this is just another African country going down the drain where people are not able to manage themselves. So, you know, the international discourse isn't always helpful, but I think the national discussions that are happening, the examinations of themselves that people are undertaking, and the conversations that are happening are important. I don't think we'll immediately see them reduce rape overnight, but they're helping to shift thinking and helping to challenge that normalization and invisibility of rape that has been, I think, the norm for so many years.
Lisa Vetten is an independent researcher. She's a member of the Shukumisa campaign that is working to end sexual and domestic violence. And she was kind enough to join us from the BBC studio in Johannesburg. Lisa Vetten, thank you for speaking with us.
Sure, Michelle. Thanks.